we're going to have 4 barbecues in as many weeks around here. Got to get in while we can. Excellent. Just a couple of things. You can see me now. Excellent. Just a couple of things for prayer. Would you please remember Ruth Inchliffe and the Bavisters, please, in your prayer? Obviously, you'd be aware that Ruth had a hip replacement. It's not gone brilliantly well. Lots of problems with that. So it's become a bit of a full-time nursing situation at the moment. It's very difficult for them, but pretty stressful, very tiring. And just want to encourage you to pray for them. And please do visit. Please do visit. You're free to visit, but if you visit, can you go for about 20 minutes to half an hour? Because any more than that, and it just gets, because there's things to be done through the day every hour or so, and it just gets a little bit difficult. And Ruth finds it very tiring more than that, and so that would be great. So the encouragement of being there is fab. You know, bang Dennis and Sue a text message or an email just to encourage them, let them know you're praying, and just feel free to just knock on the door and say hello and just bless them, but just for a short time, okay? They can all talk for Britain. And so 20 minutes, 30 minutes soon goes, and it can turn into 2 hours ever so quickly. It happened to me yesterday. Don't let that 30 minutes turn into 2 hours. Be disciplined, all right? Even though they might not want you to go. Might not want you to go away after you've been, I mean. Baptism's coming up in a couple of weeks' time, just so you know, just in advance. I'm going to meet all the people that are planning to be baptised or would like to talk about the possibility of being baptised after the meeting in the upper mezzanine next Sunday. All right? So spread the word. Excellent. So, I have many priorities in life. Do you? Hello. Oh, thank you, Neil. I have many priorities in life, Neil. You and I have priorities in life. But I just want to let you know that Jesus is not one of the priorities of my life. Jesus is not a priority in my life. I have many priorities, but Jesus is not one of them. Because if I relegate Jesus to simply being a priority, he's one of many things. Jesus is the foundation of my life. Everything else can be a priority, but Jesus is everything. He is my life. So I just want to get that clear before I offend anybody else. Okay? Jesus must never be a priority in your life. He's got to be your life. Okay? So, how do we live that kind of life? I think there are 3 prophetic actions I'm going to look at this morning. They're about being aware, they're about being intentional, and they're about being accountable. And those things will keep us the right way up in our upside down world. These 3 actions will make us grow. And to prove that, I'm going to war. With my jug. It's a war jug. You seem unconvinced. I am being entirely biblical at this moment. Oh, it's got water in it. Flipping it. I am being entirely biblical at this point. This is a biblical war jug. Did you know that? Come on, somebody. You must have known that is a war jug. Men. Especially men going to CVM. I'm not afraid of my masculinity. I have a sword. Okay? Not running around in a field. I've got my own sword. That boy Robert's got a sword. This was above Robert's fireplace till this morning. Robert's got a mock medieval front room in his. This is. Fella, look, ladies, just look away, right? Unless you're like a lady that'd like to be like Xena, Princess Warrior. There's something right good about holding a sword. John, hold the sword. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Hey, steady on. Look, I know that you had an argument this morning. I know there was tension in your house this morning, so you're not having that night. The printer didn't work this morning. You could see the printer didn't work on both their faces this morning. Yeah. You see, because I'm a bloke and we're all a bit simple that way, we want to wave swords about. That's our answer to everything. I'm not going to actually wave it about. Sword for the Lord and all that. But we sang earlier, the fight belongs to him, the battle belongs to the Lord. And when he sends his people out, he sends them out with a jug and wins. Because the point is, he is doing the fighting. Some of you look at me and think, what has that got to do with anything? What has a jug got to do with war and God? Well, you remember I talked last week, and just to remind you all about the 300, not the Spartans, but Gideon's 300 that went out against the Midianites. And a massive army, 32,000 Israelites were reduced to 300 to go out and face a huge army. And they were sent to battle with a jug to defeat the enemy. And in the jug was a torch and a trumpet at the side. They didn't go in with swords. They simply stood around their enemy at night time, smashed their jugs, the torches lit, it seemed all bright, blew the trumpets, the enemy panicked and got out of victory. And then they chased the enemy, a handful of them chased the enemy. How amazing is God? You see, I'd have been thinking of the strategies, where I send my shock troops in, what kind of swords they've got, all this. You know what? The battle belongs to the Lord. And in our lives, we've got to shift our thinking. We do not think like the world does. We do not respond how the world does. And I think these three actions that I talked about, awareness, intentional, and accountable, can be found in this story. So turn with me, if you would, to Judges chapter 7. I think subject to a fully functional IT. Can we just, yeah, I just, look, it's not their fault. We've got some software issues, and every time I bring a PowerPoint, you can see the fear in our guy. They work so hard, it's not their fault. But they look slightly terrified every time we bring a PowerPoint. Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. They were aware of what God was doing. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. And then the next slide, it is intentional. Watch me, he told them, watch me. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. There's intent about this. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they'd changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets, smashed the jars, grasping the torch in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, this is their accountability, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon, while each man held his position around the camp. All the Midianites ran. Church, we are entering a world of unknown unknowns right now. Quite literally in our country. The argument at the moment in our country is, if we stay, we face the unknown. If we go, we face the unknown. And those that want to go say staying is scary unknown. And those that want to stay say those that go, it's scary unknown. So basically, it's unknown and scary. I don't know which way you're going to vote, but just know that by Thursday night, it'll be unknown and it will be scary. The world is changing, and all we have to hang on to is wishful thinking, personalities, and best guesses and pride about what the future might hold. There are times I am glad I am a Christian. There are times I am glad that I have a Lord that is above the secular lords. I am glad I have a king that is above any other worldly king. I am so glad that I have faith and a foundation. Because I know that the battle belongs to the Lord. The church is changing too. Individual lives in this room are changing. Change is coming. Everywhere we turn, a big shift is happening. You can feel something is not going to be the same. Your lives are not going to be the same. Things are moving. Things will change secularly in our lives because of what's happening to our country right now. But I believe God is doing something in his church, and God is changing the ground rules for us. God is moving things on. Massive change is coming. It's not all going to be easy. But the battle belongs to the Lord. He's our foundation. How can we remain church and grow in the face of this overwhelming insecurity? Who feels confident and secure about next Friday morning after they vote? Put your hand up now if you feel completely confident that this country will get it completely right. Oh, Neil, you put your hand down. Who feels slightly insecure about the capacity of this world to vote in a sensible way? Look, I've met people that vote. And that really frightens me. Because I would be a terrible dictator, me. I'd have to interview everybody. No, you can vote. You can't vote. You definitely can't vote. You can vote and you can vote. Though I look at myself in the mirror and think, he can't vote. Because Robert Maxwell, a Christian guy that does a lot of church leadership stuff, he said this: change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Church, change is coming to us. Your life will change, but we have to grow. We have a God who specializes in movement and change. The old is gone, the new is come. We are new creations. Renew your minds. Become like little children. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. See, I am doing a new thing. I press on towards the goal. They're all change phrases from the Bible. We have a God that specializes in changing our lives. That's what he's about. It's fascinating. Jesus fought for us so that we could change. He paid a price on a cross so that we could change. So that the new thing God is doing is us. That's an amazing truth. So number one, let's have a look at this phrase, be aware. Be aware of what God is doing. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:1. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Do you understand the opportunity that brings us? The old is gone, the new has come. It affords us the opportunity to step away from our history. All the things that once formed us, that made us, it opens a door for us to begin to move into a new future. To begin to say, my future belongs to the Lord. My history is gone. Now look, I'm not so naive as to think the formative things of my life, the childhood things, the things that went wrong, the issues and mistakes I've made, I'm aware that they impact me today because the Lord has not returned yet. I've not been called heavenward. But this thing I know, that history can be forgiven. And when God's doing the forgiving, it can be covered and it can be forgotten. And we are new creations. I might be hanging around in the old physical self, but I am now eternal. When we give our lives to the Lord, something completely new begins. So whatever the insecurities of the history, whatever the hurt and the pain, whatever the sin and mistake, whatever the wrongdoing, whatever the place when you shouldn't have gone, wherever the thing is that you didn't do, the Lord's more concerned about looking forward and taking you on and covering your past and forgiving it. You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. I might keep tripping up over the old self. It may be around my ankles, but it's not who I am. Be aware. Being aware is prophetic thinking. You understand when we become Christians, we move instantly into the prophetic because we are declaring our future. And we are beginning to own the future. Your kingdom come, we begin to taste right now. The past may still be real. People may know the past. It may still have an impact on our lives. The history that we carry may still touch our today. But the point is, when I become a Christian, when I become aware, my thinking becomes prophetic. And I begin to claim the future for now. New is coming. Change is inevitable. Change is a process. Change comes to all of us, whether we prepare for it or not. Have you noticed that? Our lives are in a constant state of transition. Life is always moving forward. Nothing ever remains the same. Who has ever said, I want to capture this moment to keep it just as it is? Have you ever done that? I have sat in certain places with certain views, with a sun and a certain temperature at a certain angle, and just thought, this is the moment. Stop. Stop the clock now, at this moment. Retain. Oh, it's gone. Have you done that thing where you see the perfect thing and you grab, you're trying to find the photograph, the camera part of your mobile phone, just sitting there, it's gone. I caught the perfect moment, and it wasn't. It was my feet, and I missed what was actually happening. I did that with the very last fly to the Vulcan bomber at Lincoln Showground. It was flying above the ground, and I went scrambling trying to find my phone, got my phone, got it all out, got it, gone. So I barely saw the thing. I barely have a memory of it. We can't, change comes. We must be aware of who we are in Christ. We must become used to what is happening and that change is coming. We must be aware of his intentions for us. Remember, he's the one that started all of this for us. You do know that, don't you? You didn't start this. God started this. That's why we can say the battle belongs to the Lord. I wasn't wandering around sometime thinking, I'm going to start this whole salvation thing off. I'm going to start this whole future thing off. I'm going to get this sorted out for God. I'm going to get a few things in place. Then God, no. Before I was even born, God began this. Before time, God began this. Before time, he knew you. He began it. We just joined in like the 300 soldiers that Gideon had. The battle belonged to the Lord. They just got to blow trumpets and wave jugs and wave torches. The battle belonged to the Lord. We get to join in. We get to go, hey, we won. When it was God. It's good, isn't it? It's that, anybody been watching the football? There are more closet football fans because England won a game. Let's be honest. We were so shocked that the brilliant team we've sent out, because we've sent brilliant teams out before that have not won games, but we sent a brilliant team out that have won a game. Okay? My only fear is, that do we play Poland at any point in this competition? Because that's going to split Barnsley right down the middle these days, isn't it? That's going to be really interesting. Who do you shout for if you live in... Because I feel like I should be supporting... How amazingly wonderful is that? I love all that. I love what God's doing to our town. I love all the football fans that rip off their shirts in the crowd and say, we won, we won, we won. No, you didn't. You drank beer and stood and watched. And yet somehow they claim the victory and they'll come back on the plane saying, we won. We are that good. And I think it just, and that's what we're doing. Scripture even says there's a great crowd of witnesses that cheer us on. Well, God wins this amazing battle. We get to share in that victory. We've got a generous God. We have to be aware of it. To move forward, you have to leave the past behind. There's no standing still because time is moving forward. I know that every time I look in the mirror, doesn't matter how much Max Factor, doesn't matter how much I'm worth it you use, you will get older. I know that's tough to know. It's horrible, that, isn't it? I mean, obviously, some of us are doing our best to defy it and fight it. But the simple truth is, you're not going to win that one. So number two in your life, you better be intentional. You are better be intentional in your life. Every change we meet means moving into the unexpected and the untried. Oh, my word. If you only knew what leaders' meetings look like. Because as leaders... you're always moving into the unexpected and untried. I believe we should be doing this. Every time you say that as a leader, you're conscious that you've never done it before. Because it's a new point in time and history. You may have tried similar, but at that moment in time, it's a brand new day and a brand new moment. And it's a completely untried experience. It's called faith. So our entire Christian life now is living in the unexpected and the untried. Welcome to Christianity. If you're not a Christian this morning, or you're wrestling with experiences and moments in your life, if you're feeling untried, if you're not expected this experience in your life at this moment, it's faith. Let's believe God can take us forward. Connecting with this church doesn't mean security. If you connect with this church called Hope House, if you're in this morning and you wonder about whether joining us or you're not a Christian, I just want to say to you, becoming a part of Hope House Church does not mean being secure. All right? It really doesn't. There's nothing secure about this place. I'm serious. There's really not. It can be gone like that. Everything we are practically doing is untried and unexpected. You know, but this whole building is an untried, it's not an experiment. I think it's obedience. But it is untried and it is unexpected. But we have an exciting God who expects everything, who knows. He's not untried. See, joining this church, it means intentionally having an adventure. Connecting to Jesus always means intentionally choosing to have an adventure. The only constant in life is change. So we might as well be in a place where we have a foundation for that change to come from. You know, however good you're looking now, in 60 years' time, you'll look worse. It's true. I mean, in 60 years' time, I've got to tell you, I'm not going to look like this. Even if you try to mummify me, in 60 years' time, I'm highly unlikely to look like this. Do you remember being 20? I love all the guys going to CBM. They're all going to try and remember being 20, and they're going to go on that bouncy castle thing and come back thinking, I'm so not 20. I had that conversation with a young man this morning who said, oh, I'm not as young as I used to be. My knees are bad. Chris. Air today, gone tomorrow. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He is steady and reliable. His promises enduring forever. Indeed, we can trust completely in God's word. How good is God's word when it says things like that? We may change, the world around us may change, but our God is constant. I love that he brings us into new things. But you see, he is so big. Every step we take towards him to become like him, for us is change and new. But he's so big, we never run out of that change. We never run out of that new. So he can be constant. And we can be eternally changing and growing. You understand we're talking about God here? The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of all things. And how remarkably it seems to me that in a little northern town called Barnsley, a group of people can be talking about the eternal God and experience his life. It always is a mystery to me that somebody like me can stand here and talk about growing into an eternal God. Being part of him, being part of who he is, being saved by him and drawn into his people. Wow. Be intentional in your decision for Jesus. Don't just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Be intentional. Connect to that. Commit to that. Don't just do the, yeah, well, I do church. No, intentionally get to know Jesus. Intentionally commit your life. It's worth it. It's an astounding experience. And as Christians, so many of us intentionally hold back. Don't hold back. Get into the flow of it. There's a part of scripture that comes to mind in the Old Testament, and it talks about walking in the river up to your ankles and then up to your knees and then kind of up to your thighs and up to your waist. You know, there's a point at which you've just got to swim. There's a point at which you're in the middle of the river and you are going with the flow of the river. We cannot swim against the flow of God's river. Just go with it. Get in there and go with it. Be intentional about getting in that flow. See, we have a secure point to grow from. The soil that we're in is the same soil. But we grow. But our source remains the same. See, your identity, who you truly are, is born from the way you relate to that foundation soil or how you relate to change. So be confident in your God foundation. Don't fear change. If you're placing your focus on the change, you will become fearful. If you focus on your foundation, you will be secure when the change comes. God is our foundation. Whatever change happens around us, whatever insecure things appear to happen, our foundation remains strong. It's a little bit like the man who built a house on the rock. He didn't have to look at the storm. He looked at his foundation and knew that he was secure. If you build your house on sand, you better be looking at the storm because your foundations are about to disappear. And I know, I'm not saying that means it's easy. When that storm is battering your roof and knocking your windows and rattling your doors, it can be frightening. And there are people even in this room that are going through some frightening stuff. And I've got the T-shirt, I've had some frightening stuff. But I promise you this, the foundation is solid. The foundation is solid. We are intended to be growing in God so that we influence and we can bring change. That's the weird thing. We're actually intended to have a solid foundation so that we can be influenced, that bring change around us. We're not just about change, being changed. We're actually called to change. We're called to be salt and light in our town. We are actually, as Christians, as church, and if you're not a Christian this morning, here's the amazing thing. God wants to use you to bless and to change others, to carry his word, to touch the life of our town, not because we're great or we're amazing or we're the best, but because our God is. And we are humbly privileged to be part of him. So the next time somebody's being negative, anybody ever talk to anybody who's negative? I know there's not many of them about. Most people are predominantly positive and cheerful. All the time. But the next time somebody's being negative about you or the church, because things are happening, change is happening, just remember, Jesus not only said that it's inevitable, but actually cautioned us about living lives that were so safe that they would produce no reactions from others. Luke 6:26 says this, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." I will worry when everybody says, "Paul Bedford is a great guy. I don't think he's ever seen him put a foot wrong." When they say, "Hope House Church, great church, no problems with it at all, it's got it absolutely right." That's the day I'll worry. Because that's the day we stop having influence and impact. I want people to be thinking, "What is going on in that church? What are they doing?" Because God is bringing change and influence. Because we are actually in a battle. But the battle belongs to the Lord. You see, if you're facing your enemy, what you don't want your enemy to do, and remember, our enemy is not flesh and blood, it's principalities and powers. But if you're in a physical battle, what you don't want is the enemy general saying, "Oh, don't worry about that old power, so they're really nice people, don't worry about them, let's concentrate on this group over here." The minute you've been dismissed, what is the point in being on the battlefield? What we want our enemy to be doing is saying, "Flipping heck, that old power again. What are they on?" We want them to be afraid. Here's what Scripture says. The gates of hell will not prevail. You don't understand that, don't you? Why did I grow up in church being told that verse? And I constantly thought it was the church's gates that were being battered down. And it never even hints at that. The gates of hell will not prevail. We're on the offensive. And so often we stand there like it's our church door that's being attacked. We're told to go. We're told to get out there, be on the offensive, touch lives, change our community, say what you see, be righteous. And that's not an easy thing to do. You will make lots of friends doing it, and then make lots of other people that won't like it. But God is calling us to something. We're not here in a popularity contest. We're here to make Jesus' name famous. And when we touch lives, Jesus will be popular, because I think Jesus is forever appealing. If I promote me and promote Hope House Church, we will let people down. But if we promote Jesus, Jesus is eternally relevant, permanently worthwhile. See, I as a church will become irrelevant, as a person will become irrelevant at some point. Yeah, I know. Already, you've been like that for 10 years, Paul. You will become irrelevant. The church will become irrelevant if we are the foundation. But if God is the foundation, if Jesus is at the heart of us, he's always relevant. He's always attractive. I'm so glad that Scripture says, "Hide yourself in Christ so that when he's revealed, you will live." Because he's attractive. We can love our enemies, even if that love doesn't seem to come easy. It may have to come from God and through us. And this is more important than ever right now, because we are living in a world growing comfortable with division and isolation and conflict, with anger and blame. We live in a world now where it's always got to be somebody's fault. You know what? We need to be in a world where he says we always have an answer. Jesus is the answer. I'm not interested in pointing the finger and saying it's them, it's this, it's that. we can all point the finger, but we live in a world where, God doesn't want it to be isolated and divided, but united under Christ and in Christ and through Christ. So let's not be the people that join in the finger pointing. And I'm going to be very, very pointed here. There are lots of political things being said right now in our country about other types of people and different types of people and different classes of people. Let's be sure that if we're having that conversation, it never drifts into hatred and blame. There may well be challenges and difficulties that we face regarding the whole Brexit and leave and stay thing, but let's make sure that we carry a voice that is not pointing blame and not bringing anger. And let's make sure we're not aligning ourselves with individuals that do. I'm not saying you should vote one way or the other. That is not my role. And I'm not even going to make a joke of it, and it's killing me not making a joke of telling you which way to vote. It's killing me. You can probably guess which way I'm going to vote. However, whatever your intentions are voting-wise, make sure that hate and blame do not creep in. We are meant to be people that demonstrate something different. So let's be sure that our arguments are based on Christ and his word first. Keep giving kindness no matter what others are giving you. If somebody hates you, bless them. Scripture says that. Bless your enemies. You may be wanting to give them a piece of your mind. Anybody wanted to give somebody a piece of their mind? You give them a piece of your heart instead. No matter what their opinion is of you, God loves them. God absolutely loves certain politicians who are nearly named but won't right now. He loves them. It's not my job to hate them. It's my job to love them and share Jesus Christ with them. We've got to be intentional about that, because my heart will try to stop me. So I've got to use my head, get it renewed in Christ, and be intentional about the gospel. Number three, be accountable. Got to move on quickly. God's purpose for you, purposes for you are more powerful than other people's opinions of you. You understand that? God's purposes for you are more important than other people's opinions of you. Other people's opinions do not have to become who you are. God's opinion is the ultimate perspective, and who we are should be born from God's perspective. Who we make ourselves accountable to determines who we are. So who am I accountable to? I want to be accountable to God. Be accountable. Do more than just being accountable to yourself. Anybody here accountable to yourself? You see, if I'm accountable to myself, I put weight on. When I'm accountable to my app on my phone that I put my calories into, my food content into, that makes me very accountable. I can tell myself, oh, I'm well under my limit today, and then I put them into my phone and find I've nearly doubled my limit today. Be accountable to somebody other than yourself. The Bible calls it discipleship. Be part of a body, connecting. Make sure you're accountable. I need the truth, except I need the truth in love. My phone doesn't give me the truth in love. It just gives me the brutal truth. We need the truth in love. Be accountable. Being accountable is prophetic living. Hebrews 10 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We cannot be accountable unless we're meeting together. We are called to be a body, and that's where accountability through Christ begins to be laid out in our discipleship. We've got to be together. Hold your position is what the 300 did. They held their position. That's what we have to do. Romans 14. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Encourage them. Build them up. Inspire them. In a world focused on independence and self-reliance, me in my small corner, I can go it alone because I'm great. Give myself away. We are called to be a prophetic people of dependence and relational unity. Do you understand that as Christians? We're not called to walk it alone. We're not, the song from I'm an Island. No, you're not. We are designed to be in relationship. And I know that because we're made in God's image. And God only does relationship. That's why we have this all-confusing Trinity thing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Individual, and yet the same, yet one. God just does relationship. We're called relationship. Says this in Scripture. Can I have the band back, please, if that's all right? We're going to sing something rousing. In God, the Lord bless you. I know this every time. I don't think I've ever thought of a song I wanted him to sing. Says this in that scripture from Judges that we read earlier. Get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Be aware of what God is calling us to. Be aware of it. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. Be intentional in your Christian life. For the Lord and for Gideon, each man shouted and each man held his position. They were accountable. This was for the Lord and they held their position. They were aware, they were intentional, they were accountable. The adventure of faith, the choice to stand, to put on the armour of God, to pray, the choice of unity and purpose in Christ, of Christ in our life, that matters. A prophetic life is more than a Jesus priority. It is a Jesus foundation beginning to end. Church, we have to be that kind of aware, intentional, accountable people. Because we're entering a world right now that is completely full of the unknown. We have to know that our God is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that he has purpose for us. We have to be intentional in our response to that knowledge. And we have to be accountable to one another, to encourage one another, to inspire one another, to spur one another on, and to be before the Lord in prayer. Can I ask that you stand together? I think this is a critical week. And we need to be praying. We need to pray for our nation. We need to be praying for the nations. There's a lot happening out there. And the simple truth is, we, along with countless others around this world, we're sat on an answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. And this might sound like a ridiculous thing, but the answer for the NHS is Jesus Christ. The answer for our government is Jesus Christ. The answer for your next door neighbour is Jesus Christ. The answer for the homeless guy is Jesus Christ. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever the history, whatever the current moment, whatever the future looks like, the answer is always going to be Jesus Christ, who changes everything. So this morning, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, if you're visiting us, but it is a great opportunity to discover who Jesus is, to give your life to him. And you can do that in a very simple way. I'm going to read a prayer out. And maybe you're a Christian that just needs to reconnect with that. Stop judging and start receiving. Stop being frightened of the change and recognizing your foundation. I'm going to read this simple prayer out that is about connecting with God. And as I read it out, maybe you can just say amen to it at the end. Maybe as we sing our closing song, you as a Christian, as a new Christian for perhaps one or two people here, maybe if you make that commitment today. But you as Hope House Church, maybe you need to stand up and say, I am aware of what God is doing. I'm going to be intentional with my walk. I'm going to be accountable for that walk, for my life with him. And here's where that can start this morning, by doing the bravest thing possible, and it's by coming and standing on this front step, or near it, just near the front, and saying, look, this is me. Because if we can't be accountable in this simple setting, how are we going to be accountable out there and intentional with our lives? And I know that is a hard thing I'm asking, but if we can't be brave in front of people that love us, if we can't overcome our pride in this room, if we can't be honest and open and talk about the challenges that we face and the need that we have for the Lord in this room, we will not do it out there. And many of us need to be in that place where we are looking again at our foundation. Maybe for you, you just need to come and stand at the front and say, Lord, help me see the foundation, because the storm is all around me and I just need that foundation. Sometimes we have to physically, prophetically make that step. So here's a prayer. Why don't we all say amen to it when I've read it out? Then the band are going to lead us. And in a sense, they're going to lead us like that 300 into battlefield. But the battle belongs to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I know I have done things wrong in my thoughts, my words, and actions. There are so many good things I've not done. There are so many wrong things I have done. I'm sorry for those things and turn from everything I know to be bad. You gave your life for me on a cross. Gratefully, I give my life back to you. Now I ask you to come into my life. Come in as my Saviour to clean me. Come in as my Lord to lead me. And I will serve you all the remaining days of my life. Amen. As a band are going to lead us now, maybe it's be right for you to respond, for you to step up, for you to be part of the 300 that is aware, intentional, and accountable to God.